Thrilled that you are here. Before we dive into what we're doing as we wrap up this message series, I want to talk about two things real quick. And the first thing that I want to talk about is this thing that we have coming on December 17th called baptism. If you have been coming around Next Level for a while and been made a commitment to Jesus Christ, your next step in obedience is to be baptized. And so we have a tank and we do baptism by immersion. It's just your way of saying publicly to everybody that's around, hey, I am a follower of Jesus. And I know you might have a lot of questions about that and some things. We're going to have a meeting where you can bring up those questions for all that sign up. And you can sign up by going to our website, go to nextlevelchurch.org/baptism. And there you can see some of the common questions that people ask. You can fill out a form, let us know, hey, yeah, I want to be baptized. I think that's going to be a neat time because that Sunday, December 17th, is the last Sunday that we'll be gathering on Sunday morning for the year, because the next Sunday is December 24th, which is Christmas Eve, and we're going to move our morning services to one big, huge Christmas Eve service that day. So this is your opportunity to be baptized kind of on our last Sunday morning gathering of the year, and really neat, the last Sunday before Christmas, and just an amazing time to have some memories made about when it was that you were baptized. So you can sign up for baptism by going to our website, and we'll give you all the information that you need. We'll walk you through what the process means and what baptism is so that you're real clear on what you're doing. The second thing that I want to bring up, next Sunday, because we're wrapping up the message series this Sunday, next Sunday is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We're not going to start talking about Christmas yet, so what we're going to do in the in-between time is answer your questions. And we've had a lot of your questions, had some really great questions come in, some even during the first service, lots of people sent us questions, where we're going to sit here with a panel. We're going to bring up our pastors and teachers and leaders, and we're going to just sit here and just answer the questions that you've asked us. Just the best we can, and you know, answer a question, move on to the next, to the next, to the next. So if you've ever had a burning question where you thought, well, I wonder about this, and where would I ask, you know, how did the Bible come to be? And, you know, how do I ask, you know, something about faith, or why, you know, why does, if God's a good God, why do bad things happen? You know, all these types of questions that you wanted to have some answers on. If you'll go here, go to our, again, our website /God-questions. There's a place, and you can do it anonymously if you like. Just put in your question, send it. We're going to compile those this week, and then we're going to answer, you know, first service, second service. We got so many questions. We're probably going to answer different questions in the first service than we do the second service, just to get to them all, try to answer as many of those as we can. So we would love for you to be here to be a part of that as we roll through what those look like. So this week, though, we are wrapping up our series on relationships, where what we've been talking about are the different ways that we sabotage the relationships that we're in, the different ways that, you know, we get into a relationship and it just goes south. There are some behaviors that are underneath that. Sometimes we're aware of those behaviors. Many times we're not aware of those behaviors that are sabotaging the relationships. And so we began all the way back in the beginning of the series. We talked for the first 2 weeks about what I think is probably one of the biggest problems when it comes to relationships, and that's pride. Pride and arrogance. This whole me first attitude, it's all about me. And we talked about how that can be destructive and how it's hard to see pride in a mirror, how you need to have people in your life that can point this out. And we talked, you know, about some great things. If you ever get into an argument with someone that's in you, you know, how to say I'm sorry, how to say I'm wrong. You know, we went through these things and why it's so difficult to do that. Then Pastor Joseph came and he talked to us about this idea of people pleasing. That we think that we're doing people a favor by just make everybody happy, keep everybody happy, keep everybody happy, but how that really is a trap. And he talked about how it's like a mousetrap just waiting to snap on us, and how it can put us in some very ugly places in relationships, places that we never intended to be. Last week we talked about words, and we said, you know, you got to be careful with your words, that words can either bring life or words can bring death, right? You can give life to a situation by being encouraging, or you can bring death into a situation by being, you know, angry and saying mean and hurtful things, and how we need to be careful of that. This week, we're going to look at a different subject. And we began all the way back in the first week. I made a statement that when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the words and the teachings and what we have here, the temptation is to always think that this applies to someone else and this applies to someone else. But what we said way back in week one, when you read this and when you think about this, especially when you think about friendships, that the way that the Bible frames things up is, for the most part, it's more important for you to think about the kind of person that you want to be than it is to get focused on finding the right person. It's more important to be the right person than it is to find the right person. Now, Even though it's more important, it doesn't mean that it's not important to find the right person. So we're going to wrap up this message series with this idea of friendship. People that we bring into our life, people that we surround our life with. Because yes, it's more important to be the right person, but it is also very important to find the right person, to bring those kind of people in our life. You know, it's important if you're out there and you're dating, it's important to know what is the kind of person that I want to marry. What is it? I'm going to bring that person into the inner circle of my life. It's important to understand who you're getting into business with. It's important to understand who your friends are. These are important things. And so we're going to talk about this. And the verse that we're going to use as we get into this is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 30. And there is so much insight that's packed into just this one verse. Quite honestly, we could do a whole message series. I could spend 5, 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks on all the different insights that I could pull out of this. So I'm going to narrow it down in scope a little bit. But this is just a really packed verse. And it says this: the one who walks with the wise becomes wise, but whoever keeps company with fools only hurts himself. The one who walks with the wise becomes wise, but the one who keeps company with fools only hurts himself. One of the ways that I learned the verse and memorized the verse years ago was, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion with fools suffers harm. And there is so much that is jammed into this verse, but one of the things that the writer of Proverbs is assuming inside of this is that you are going to have a group of friends, that you are going to have people that you walk through life with, that you have people that are going to lead and guide and direct you, people that are close to you. You're just kind of doing life with them. And for some of us, these were friends that we developed as kids. You know, you might be in the room and you're one of the fortunate few that your best friend in life or one of your best friends in life you met in second grade or eighth grade or whatever the case would be, but you were kids and now here you are as adults and you're still friends and you have had a lifelong friendship that you have built into, and that is fortunate. For the rest of us, we build friends kind of as we go. And sometimes our friends, they will drift into our life and our friends will drift out of our life. Sometimes our friends are in our life for a season, you know, for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. And then for some reason, God moves them out and other people move in. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it's hurtful when friends move away, but it's the case, it's the way life works. And we've all experienced this in different things. When we were single, you remember back to being single? Those of you, maybe some of you are here and you're single. When you're single, do you hang out with married people? No, you don't, because married people are old and fat and boring. It's like we don't hang out with them, right? So we're not gonna go there. And so you had, when you were single, you had a group of friends and they were single. And then you got married. What happened? Did all your friends stay single? No, you started transitioning. You became one of the old, boring, fat, married people, right? And you started surrounding yourself with married people. And then you were young and you were married. You remember those days and no kids? Remember young, married, no kids, and you're hanging out. You know, it's like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock every night, man, coming in. It's late. It's awesome. You're just living life and you don't understand why everybody can't stay up late. And then you had kids, right? What happened? Who did you start hanging out with? Actually, no one, because bedtime was 7 o'clock, right? And so, I mean, you had to be home, but no, seriously, you started hanging out with people with kids, right? So different phases of different life and different stages, you know, we have close friends, and our friends move in and our friends move out of our life. What the Bible is talking about here, when Proverbs talks about this, though, is that you're going to have this inner core of people in your life. People who you influence their life and they influence your life, that you're going to have this group of people that are in your life that you are doing life with. Now, the interesting thing, I was reading a study, survey that had come out. The American Sociological Review had surveyed a massive number of people in America, and it said that the average American, so this statistic was run last year, so in 2016, the average American had two close friends. The average American had two close friends. And you're like, well, yeah, that seems about right. You know, I've got one or I've got two. But here's the thing that was a little bit shocking. 25 years ago, when they did this exact same study, the average American had six close friends. So we've gone from six friends to two friends. And then in this particular survey in 2016, the study suggested that 25% of Americans don't even have one close friend. That 25% of Americans have zero. That is saddening. That's disheartening. Especially if you call yourself a Christ follower, we are built around community, this idea that we want people to have community. But there seems to be this dwindling of friendships that's happening in front of us in our culture. And there's probably a plethora of reasons as to why that is taking place. I mean, I have a couple of thoughts on that, and you know, I'm not going to really build my message around this. And I don't have any empirical data to back it up other than just my own observations. If I were to say, why is there a decline in friendships? I think one of the reasons is just our pace of life that we run at these days. You know, I look at the pace of life that my parents ran at when we were kids versus the pace of life that we run at as parents of kids. And I've talked about this. We go much farther, faster, harder, longer. It's just everybody's into everything, and we're just going. And then you throw on top of that, we need to succeed in business, and we need to do that. And then we throw on top of that all the clubs and things, and then there's church stuff. And it's just we are busy, busy, busy people, and it's cutting out on friendships. Like, who has time for friends? Right? And I got all this other stuff. And the other thing that I think, again, I don't have data for this, just suggestions, is our dependence on online friends, electronic friends. You know, we have, you know, amazing tools. I love Facebook. I love Twitter. I love Instagram. These are great tools. I use them to share my life. Our church uses them to share what's going on here, to bring the gospel into our community. I think they're amazing tools. But they also can create some hazards to where you think that all the little friends in your friend count are actually your friends, right? I've got 1,361 friends. No, you don't. You know, if you think that your best friends are just the people that are really, really, really bored and like all of your posts every day, that's not really a friend. That's just a bored person who needs a job, all right? Our friends are people that we spend face-to-face time with, and we're losing connection with this because we share so many details of our life. We think we know about everyone's life, and I think that that's great. I love knowing about you guys' life. I love what you share, what is going on, and if we're friends in any social media accounts, I love seeing what's happening. I love the fact that by 1 o'clock today, you know, I'm going to know what half of my friends had for lunch. I think that's amazing, and I think this is great, but it is not a substitute for real friends. And when the writer of Proverbs, what he is writing in here, he is assuming that you're going to have an inner core of people that you actually spend time with, that you interface with, that they influence you, and you influence them. And so if you think about friendships in your life, okay, not online friends, real friends, there's kind of a concentric circle of friendship. There is people at the inner core of your life. And most of us probably have 2, maybe 3, maybe 5 people, probably at most, that are at this inner core of my life that know who I am, that are deeply, they are changing me and I am changing them. This is the inner core of your friends. You move out one circle, you have another group of people, you would still call them friends, right? These are still people that you would say, yeah, that's my friend. They're just not on the inner core of your life. You would do things with them. You would hang out with them. You would help them. You would love them. You know, all kinds of things. They're just not on the inner core of your life. And so we all have a group of that. And if I were to guess, you know, based on people that I know, I would say, you know, maybe you have, 25, maybe 30 that are in that group that you would say, yeah, that's a friend. Okay, so I've got, you know, somewhere between 3 and 5 in here, and I've got 25 or 30 that are out here. And then beyond that, we have acquaintances, right? The biggest circle, people that we bump into. These are people that we work with, people that our kids play sports with, people that are in the neighborhood, on and on and on it goes. These are acquaintances. And depending on where you work and what you do for a living, you know, that could be anywhere from 100 people to 5,000 people. It just depends on the number of people you interact with. So what the writer of Proverbs is saying in all the verses that we're going to look at, but especially in the one that we looked at here, he who walks with the wise grows wise. What he's talking about is that inner core. When he says walks with, this is your inner core of people. These are the people that you live life with, that you do life with. It's important because these people will have a tremendous amount of influence over you, and you will have a tremendous amount of influence over them. Andy Stanley, who's a pastor in Atlanta that I love and admire a lot. He made this statement, and I put it in your outline because it's really, really powerful the way that he says it. He says this, your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. That your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. The way that I've said it as my kids are growing up, and it's not nearly as clever as Andy, I would tell my kids all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You see, the reason that what we're going to talk about is so important today is because this statement is true, that your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. Now, we understand this when it comes to kids. And for some reason, we think that that no longer applies once you turn 18 and you move out of the house. Like that no longer applies. Because we get it when we were a kid. Many of you, you know, as parents, your parents would let you hang out with some kids and they wouldn't let you hang out with other kids. Was that the case? You remember? Oh, you can go to Stevie's house. You are not going to Johnny's house. Ever. Like, well why? Right, we'll talk about that later, right? So your parents, they were really careful because they knew that your friends can influence what you do. Some of you that were here, your parents picked up and moved schools, changed your schools to get you around a different group of friends because they saw a negative influence going on. Some of you, your parents moved out of the neighborhood that you were in and they moved into a completely different neighborhood to get you away from the influence of friends. Some of you, maybe even your parents, picked up and moved and changed states and changed cities because they understood this principle. Look, your life is going to be determined. The direction and quality of your life is going to be determined by the people that you hang out with. And we get this as kids. As parents now, we do this with our own children. We look and we say the same things our parents say. You can't go to Stevie's house. Well, I can't go to Stevie's house. I can't tell you why you can't. You just can't, right? And so it's important. But just as important, not only when we are 13 years old, this principle applies when you're 23 years old, 33, 43, 63, 70. This principle will apply for the rest of your life, that your friends, the people that you are closest to that have on the inside of your life will determine the direction and the quality of your life. And when I think back over the course of my lifetime and I think back of the dumb things that I've done and some of the biggest mistakes that I have done, it was always done in the company of other people. I never really did anything really stupid by myself. It was always when other people were around. The one time in my life that I was brought home by the police and they brought me, thankfully they didn't arrest me, but they decided to bring me home and drop me off to my mom on Thanksgiving Day. We could get into the details of that. I was with friends doing something that I should not have been doing, obviously. And I think if most of you look back over your life, the biggest things, the biggest mistakes you've made, the trouble you had, I imagine most of them were done in the company of other people. Your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. So here's the tough question that I want you to ask, and it's not in your notes, and it's not up here. I just want to ask you a question, but I want you to answer this question. Do you want to become like those you are with? Do you want to become like those you are with? Let me state it this way so you understand. When you think about the people that are closest to your life, and they're your inner circle of your life, when you look at their marriage, let's say they're married, you're married, they're married. When you look at their marriage, do you want your marriage to be like their marriage? Let's say you're dating, and you're looking at the inner circle. Do you want your relationship with the person that you're dating to be like the relationship that your friends are having with their person they're dating? Let's say that you have kids. Do you want your kids to turn out the way your friends' kids have turned out? Do you want your finances and your financial picture to look like their financial picture and how they handle their money? These are tough questions. Do you want to become like those you're with? Because your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. So which brings us to the fifth undermining behavior that we have talked about in this series, and it's simply this: surrounding yourself with foolish friends. If you want to bring destruction into your life, if you want to ruin the relationships that are all around you, then surround yourself with foolish friends. Surround yourself with people that when you look at them, you go, yeah, I don't know that I would want my life to be like theirs or turn out like theirs. Yeah, bring them into the inner circle of your life, and you will begin to sabotage the relationships that are around you. So the book of Proverbs, it has a great deal to talk about you becoming the right person. We talked about this. But it also talks a great deal about what it is to be a wise person, what it is to not be foolish. And so what I want to talk to you about in the last few minutes that I have are what are some characteristics when I'm talking about pulling people into my life. If the truth of that scripture is the one who walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm, then what are the things I need to be careful of when I'm inviting someone into the inner circle of my life? And the first one is this. You need to be careful of people who are constantly looking down on others. When you're talking about it, having someone in the inner core of your life, you need to be very, very, very careful about inviting someone in who constantly looks down on others. We talked about the pride and arrogance and how destructive it is. Go back to that verse that we began the whole message series with, Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride precedes destruction. An arrogant spirit gives way to a nasty fall." Pride and arrogance will destroy relationships. Now, this is why we spent 2 weeks on in a message series. We understand that, yeah, if I'm constantly looking down, if I constantly think that I'm better than someone, then I've got a pride issue. And I'm telling you, if you invite that kind of person into your life, you're going to have trouble. Because what happens when you constantly look down on someone and you constantly look down, eventually you become very judgmental. Oh, well, I'm better than that. Oh, well, why would they do that? And pride and arrogant, prideful and arrogant people become very judgmental. And if they are in your life, it is only a matter of time before they will swing that judgment to you. And you will become the subject of their judgmentalism. Some of you have worn that. Some of you have felt that. Be very, very, very careful about bringing someone into your inner circle. Let me tell you, in my own life, I want to have people that are completely humble and filled with humility, and that's who I want to have around me. And the reason I want it is because when they are always humble, filled with humility, the moment that the slightest bit of pride and arrogance props up in my life, it stands out in stark contrast to them. But if you hang around prideful and arrogant people, you can be prideful and arrogant, and it will not stand out because that's what you're surrounded with. I want to be surrounded with humility so that when it comes up in my own life, I can deal with it and I can see it and it's done with. So, number one, be careful. Be careful about having people who constantly look down on people. The second thing, be very careful about people who don't value truth. Be very careful about people who don't value truth. Proverbs 12:22 says this, "Lying lips discuss the eternal, but those who act faithfully delight in him." I'm telling you, you invite someone into your inner circle who does not value truth, who does not value faithfulness, you are asking for trouble. You are asking for hurt. Early on in my ministry, I would do some premarital counseling, and we would sit, and you know, you would inevitably you'd have couples in, and I had this conversation more times than I would care to have it. It would go something like this. I would notice in the conversation that there were some walls and barriers that were going up between this young man and this young woman. And so in counseling, they teach you when you see this, you need to divide. So I need to talk to just him and I need to talk to just her. And I would sit and I would have a conversation. I'd pull her in. I'd say, "Hey, what's going on? I mean, you've got all these walls going up and all these barriers and there's all this stuff. I mean, that's not supposed to happen until you've been married like 15 years. And then you're in here talking about it. But you're in here already talking about it, right?" And so she would begin to share something like this. And again, I heard this more than I would want to know. Like, "Yeah, I just don't know that I trust him because, you know, he's cheated on me a couple of times." I was like, "Oh, well, tell me about that." "Well, yeah, you know, about 12 months ago, he was cheating on me, and he denied it. He said that he wasn't cheating on me, but I caught him, and he was cheating on me. And once he was caught, he had to admit it. And then he said he was never going to do it again. And then about 3 months ago, he cheated on me again." And I said, "Wow, I mean, that's got to be devastating." I said, "But why are you engaged? I mean, like, why are you here?" It's like, "Oh, well, you know, right after that I caught him in doing that, you know, we got engaged and he promised it would never happen again. And now he's put a ring on it and it's just going to stop now." And I'm like, "Hold on, Beyonce, just because, you know, that doesn't fix it, right?" And I was always amazed that these young women and men would do the same thing, would bring people into their life and would consider marrying someone who was not trustworthy, who did not understand truth, who was not clued into faithfulness. And I would tell you, I generally don't give relationship advice. If you're here and you're dating, here's a little bit of advice I would give you. And the trouble is, I never dated as an adult. By the time I was an adult, you know, I was married, so I don't understand what you're going through. But here's what I would tell you. Do not stay in a relationship thinking that you're going to change somebody into the person that you want them to be. They are who they are. And if you're dating and you don't like who they are now, do not expect them to become anything different when you get engaged and get married. That's not fair to you, and that's not fair to them. And that's a recipe for disaster. You know, that's a little bit relationship advice. You can take it or you can send me hate mail. Doesn't matter. Same thing applies to business too, though, guys. I've had the same conversation with guys who have gotten into business with someone, and as they'll sit and they say, man, it's just an absolute disaster, and I knew I shouldn't have, because as I was getting in, you know, they're not exactly the most truthful person, and they're not exactly doing things illegal, but it's a little bit gray, and as, I don't know, and they chose to get in a relationship with them anyway, and it was a disaster. I never hear that story. I choose to get in, you know, I wasn't quite sure, and they were a little bit on the edge, a little bit gray, man, it has worked out fantastic for me. I've never heard that story. Be careful. When you invite people to the inside of your life, be careful that you are inviting someone in who values truth. The third thing, be careful of people who have no control over their mouth. Be very careful. We talked about this last week. That the tongue, the mouth, has the power to bring life, or it has the power to bring death. Be careful who you invite in. Proverbs 11:13 says it this way: a gossip can't keep anything confidential, but a reliable person keeps a secret. This is really, really important to me personally. And this is the biggest difference between people in my life that are in my inner core and people that are just outside my inner core that are friends. There are people outside in that one layer outside who are really good friends of mine who I will never let into my inner core because I cannot trust them with a secret. You see, if you want to invite someone in your life, you need to be able to invite them into your whole life to where you can talk about everything that's going on, all the battles that you face, all the struggles that you have, and you need to be confident that they're not a gossip, that they're not going to go and tell someone. Many of you, some of your biggest hurts in your life came because you broke this principle right here. You invited somebody into your life who had no control over their mouth. And it hurt you, didn't it? They released some things. They said some things that you thought would never come out. Some things that you thought, man, we're just, you're a friend, you're helping me get through this. And they said them and they hurt you. Be very, very, very careful before you let someone into the inner circle of your life that you are walking in lockstep and doing life with. Be careful of people who do not have control of their mouth. If they're a gossip, they're a gossip. And again, I'm not saying you don't love them. I love my friends. I would serve them. I would give up for them. I'm just, there's some people like, yeah, no, he's a gossip. Can't let him into my life. I can't let him in on this. Still a good friend of mine. Just not going to go there. Fourth thing, be careful of people who engage in conflict. Be very careful of people who engage in conflict. Proverbs 16:28 says it this way: a perverse person spreads strife. A perverse person spreads strife. I'll get it out. And I think all of us can think of people that are like this. I mean, how many of you have people in your life that they can take the smallest thing and they can blow it up into the biggest incident in the world? That they can take some small, insignificant kind of offense and they can turn it into this massive offense that is now like world-changing, right? They have a talent for just stirring the pot, don't they? Stir it up. And one of their favorite phrases is, you would not believe what so-and-so said/did to me. I'm going to stir it up. Be careful of someone who encourages conflict. And the Bible uses this very strong word, perverse. And so, well, it seems weird. Why would it use perverse? Let me explain this to you. Because in the context of the writer, he's writing to people who in the Jewish faith have been reconciled in their relationship with God. The sacrifices have been made. They are reconciled to God. Let's bring that into our context as followers of Jesus. We are reconciled by the work of Jesus on the cross, that he died for us. And now this gap, this sin gap that was between us and God is forever taken care of, that we are now made in right relationship with God. We are reconciled. Therefore, we should have the spirit of reconciliation. We have been forgiven, therefore we should have the spirit of forgiveness. So when someone wrongs us, the first response of our spirit should be to reconcile the wrong. When someone offends us, our first response should be to overlook the offense. When someone hurts us, and again, we talked about hurt. We can go all the way back, look at the last message series we did. I understand hurt. But when they hurt us, we have a spirit that says, I am going to forgive you. Now, we talked about forgiveness. I don't want to make light of it. But we have a spirit of forgiveness, not a spirit that holds grudges, not a spirit that stirs it up, not a spirit that makes it bigger and harder. Therefore, if you are the type of person who says that you are reconciled by God, that you are forgiven in Jesus Christ, yet you walk out and you continue to stir up trouble, you are perverse. You're going against your very nature. That's what the writer is saying. Be careful of bringing in people that can't overlook anything, because eventually they will not be able to overlook you and what you have done, right? So does any of this make sense? Those are just four things. We could go on and on. We can make six, we can make eight, we can make 10, but I want to make a couple of quick points here. Before we wrap up this series. So the writer is talking about two things. It is saying, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I think it's important for us to understand, what does he mean? Like people, when you're bringing people into your inner circle, what does he mean by wise? What is wisdom? Let me define it for you. Wisdom is essentially this. Wisdom essentially is understanding that all of life is connected. That all of life is connected. That if you take an action, there are going to be reactions. And sometimes you may not understand what those reactions are. They may ricochet off. You just know that if you act, there's going to be a reaction. Let's say we sat into a small room and I took a hard rubber ball, one that bounces, and I threw it against the wall. Is it just going to go there and come back? What's going to happen? No, it's going to start bouncing around everywhere and probably hit you or me or both, right? Wisdom is someone who says, when I take an action, there's going to be reactions, and I may not even know the consequences of all of those actions. Therefore, I should really think through the actions that I'm going to take. That is what the Bible says. This is what wisdom is. Understanding all the things are connected. The fool that the Bible is talking about here, what is a fool? When Proverbs talks about a fool, a fool is simply this. A fool is someone who understands the difference between right and wrong, but doesn't care. Like, yeah, I know that's the right thing to do, but psh, I don't care. Yeah, I know I probably shouldn't do that, but psh, I don't care. That is the biblical definition of what a fool is. One who walks with the wise, someone who understands how all these things connect, will grow wise. He is a companion of fools, suffers harm. Now, inside that verse, if we put that verse back up on the screen, there is a promise, right? And there's kind of a warning. A promise and a warning. The promise is pretty easy to see. The promise is this. If you hang out with wise people, what happens? You become wise. Right? That's the promise. You hang around with people who understand that life is all connected, you're going to begin to see the connections. You will grow wise. Now, the pushback when we begin to talk about these things is you make an assumption of the latter part of that verse that probably is not there. You make the assumption, well, if I hang out with wise people, and the Bible says that I'll grow wise, but then it's saying that if I hang out with foolish people, I'm going to become foolish. Well, I'm not going to become foolish. I never have. That's not what it's saying. Because I think you are fully capable to hang out with people who make foolish decisions and not make those same decisions. I think you are fully capable to say, look, you know, my mindset is not going to change. Look, I know the difference between right and wrong, and I still care. I don't think hanging out with people who don't care is going to make me into someone who doesn't care. You're right. It's probably not. That is not what the verse is saying. The verse isn't saying if you hang out with fools, you become a fool. The verse says, whoever keeps the company with fools, what? Only hurts himself. The translation I memorized says, he suffers harm. Think of it this way. You hang out with a fool and you have someone who knows the difference between right and wrong and doesn't care, and you allow them into the inner circle of your life, when they self-destruct, and they will self-destruct, you will get hit by the shrapnel. That's what that verse says. That verse says, if you hang out and you put into your inner circle of life people who do foolish things, who make foolish decisions, you will suffer harm. No, you won't become a fool. You more than likely won't make the same decisions. But that does not mean if you're riding 110 miles an hour with a fool in the car that you will not die when it crashes. You suffer harm. You see, the admonition to us, yeah, I need to bring wise people in because I want to be wise. But the admonition to us is, you know what? I don't want to bring foolish people into my life, not because I don't want to become like them, but because the effects of their life is going to spill over into my life, and it's going to bring me harm. And most of us have probably lived the truth of that verse out. You see, this whole idea of friendship at the end of the day, I just want to be the type of friend that when my friends see me coming, they think, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you, Clay. That when my friends hang out with me, they think, man, I got a little piece of what God looks like today. And the friends that I want to have in my life are friends that when I see them coming, it fills my heart with joy, because I know when I spend time with them, I get a little glimpse of who God is. That is the bottom line for me, what it means to be friends. Doesn't mean my friends are perfect. Many of you know my friends, that my deepest friends are inside this church. They're not perfect people. They're a little rough around the edges. They're quite rough around the edges, actually. You know, they don't keep all the rules like everybody keeps all the rules, but man, they love God deeply. And I would trust them with my life. And they would say the same thing about me. See, that's the goal. The goal is to have people surrounded in me, yes, that we're all moving in the same direction. We're all heading towards what we want. If you want to have a deeper walk with Jesus, if you want to be more like God, then you got to surround yourself with people that are going in that direction. If you're tired of getting beat up, and if you're tired of having shrapnel and picking it out of your life, then you need to kind of evaluate who's close and who's the inner circle of your life. I get this is hard. And it doesn't mean that you can't love them, and it doesn't mean that you don't serve them, and it doesn't mean that they're not your friends. It just means, yeah, you know, I'm guarding a little closer who I spend the majority of my time with. Your friends will determine the direction and quality of your life. Do you want to be who your friends are? This is what Proverbs would tell us. Be careful who you invite in, because they will determine the direction and the quality of your life. Let's all pray. God, I thank you for a day like this where we get to talk about friendships, because the friendships in my life have meant so much to me. They are truly an unbelievable gift that you have given me. Thank you for a reminder of just how valuable friendships can be. Thank you, God, that you've given many of us wisdom to see and understand the effects that our friends have on our life. But maybe somebody's here today and there's someone in the inner core of your life. Maybe it's somebody you're dating. Maybe it's the person that you're living with. Maybe it's just a group of friends that, for whatever reason, you're just not on the same page. You're not on the same page spiritually, not on the same page relationally. And today, days like this, you're kind of forced to ask, do I really want to become like these people? And if the obvious answer in your heart is no, I don't, then I get that a message like this is a very difficult message for you. I don't make light of that. Because you're going to be faced with some pretty tough choices. But if I could help you, the only choice you have is, do I want to gain wisdom in my life? Because the Bible says that wisdom is contagious. Or do I want to run the risk of shrapnel hitting me from all these people as they self-destruct? Do I want to run the risk of never becoming the person that God created me to be? That's the choice. And I get that it's hard. I wouldn't make light of it. So God, I know for all of us that there's a lot at stake. So we pray and we ask you that you would give us what we lack sometimes. Give us wisdom. You've called us to be compassionate. You've called us to be forgiving. You've called us to be reconciling. God, help us to love the people around us, to serve the people, but also to know where we need to draw the lines on who we spend the most time with. God, I know this is hard. Give us the strength when we don't have the strength. Help us by bringing people into our lives that make this a little bit easier. Jesus, we pray for all of that. In your name.